You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
So this morning, family, you know, this time of year, many of us are starting to get tired, right? It's been a very long year. You know, things are starting to wind down. I mean, we're about to hit, October now. And you start to feel the weight of the year start to settling in. So this morning, I want to speak to those of us who are starting to feel just a little bit worn out. Those of us who are starting to feel that this year has just been a little too heavy. Those of us who've gotten to a point somewhere in the year where you've just asked yourself, but God, where are you? I don't see you at the moment. I want to speak to some of us who have been at the edge of a breakthrough in 2025, just to feel it slip out of your fingers. I want to speak to someone this morning who you just there at, on the brink of saying, you know what, Lord, I just can't do it anymore. I don't have it within me anymore. I've tried. It's been a very long year. I just don't have it within me anymore. This morning, family, I have a message for you. God says, you are not forgotten. You have not been left behind. You have not been abandoned. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter 1, verse 2, in the Passion Translation, and it starts, you are not forgotten, for you have been chosen and destined by Father God. The Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ, who have been gloriously sprinkled with his blood. May God's delightful grace and peace cascade over you many times over. You know, when God wants to make sure you understand that he has not forgotten you, to a point where the Holy Spirit has to invoke the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he starts off by saying, you are not forgotten. And then it goes on to say, first of all, you've been destined by the Father. The Holy Spirit has set you apart. And you're a follower of Jesus Christ. The whole Trinity comes together to remind you that you are not forgotten. You see, family, the enemy, the devil, has one key strategy. And that is to make you doubt God's heart for you. Because if he can get you to doubt that God cares about you, then he has you. Because if he can get you to think to yourself, I think God is angry with me. Maybe it's something I said, maybe something I did. Maybe he just doesn't care about me. I mean, who cares? I mean, look at me. Like, why would anyone care about me? Right? Maybe God has turned a deaf ear. Maybe God just doesn't hear my cries anymore. Maybe I'm not crying loud enough anymore. Maybe my accent is a little too heavy for him at the moment. Maybe he just doesn't hear me anymore. Perhaps God is punishing me. Maybe I did something wrong. I said something I shouldn't have said. I went somewhere I shouldn't have went. And now God is just angry with me, so he's ignoring me. What a bunch of nonsense. What a bunch of lies that the enemy comes to sow in our minds. Because you see, what happens is once he can get you to believe that lie, once he gets you to internalize that lie, matter of fact, first what he does is he separates you. First he separates you. Why? Because he knows if I can pull you away from God, then you have no anchor. So first he separates you. Then he starts feeding you with lies. Eventually those lies become part of who you are. They become your reality. They settle into your character. You start to believe those lies. You believe the lies of no one cares about me. You believe the lies maybe I'm not good enough. And you know what happens next? Worst of all, you know what happens next? He gets you to act on those lies. Because if I can get you to act on that lie, then I can change the very trajectory of your life. You start making decisions on lies. Decisions that will affect you, your family, and the people around you. That is a very dangerous trap. That is a very dangerous trap. The Bible says that we should not be what? Ignorant of the devil's tactics. We should not be ignorant of the lies that the enemy will try to sow to pull us away from God, to get us to doubt God's love, his kindness, and his genuine desire to be with us. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, keep Satan from taking advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his what? Of his schemes. Today, family, we are here to make sure that we're not ignorant of what? The devil's schemes. I'm here to tell you this morning, family, that you are not forgotten. Regardless of how you feel, God has not abandoned you. God has not left you behind. He's not deaf to your what? To your prayers. Now, you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, no, Paul, you don't know my situation. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't understand. I'm sure that applies to somebody else sitting in this room, but that does not apply to me. You do not know what's going on in my life. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 44, verse 21, I, the Lord, made you, and I will not what? I will not forget you. I don't know if there's anything more to say than that. The very word of God says, I, the Lord, made you, and I will not what? Forget you. David writes in the book of Psalm 139, 16 to 17, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. Now, I want to make something very clear right now. There is no one in this known universe that thinks about anything more than God thinks about you. You can spend every single second for 24 hours thinking about one specific thing, and you will never outnumber the number of thoughts that God has about you. Some of the despair we might be feeling right now is based on facts of things that happened where? In the past. Or things that we feel happening today. But God knows even things about you that are going to happen in the future. So he's not only thinking about your present, he's also thinking about things you don't even know are about to happen, things you haven't even imagined. He's already thinking about it. The Bible says before you even took your first breath, he knew you. He wrote down every single thing that you will do. That does not sound like a God who forgets. Your situation today does not disqualify you. God is still aware. He's still aware of you. He still sees you. As Hagar describes in her wilderness season, she said, he is the God who sees me. He is the God who sees me. So God sees you. So let's talk about some of these wilderness seasons, these periods of difficulty where it sounds or feels like God is just not saying anything. He's just quiet. So if you're feeling unseen, I want to remind you today, family, that your situation is not who you are. Your situation is what you're going through. Don't turn a bad season, don't turn a bad day into your identity. It is something you are going through, so go through it. Don't make the valley your dwelling place. In this life, you're going to be on top of the mountain, you're going to praise God, but there will be a season where you'll be at the bottom of the valley. And it takes a man and a woman of faith to know that that is not where you belong. And you need to stand up and not camp yourself down there. You don't set up shop. You don't start planting seeds in the valley. You get up and you keep walking. The same God who saw you at the top of the mountain will get you out the valley. Right? It is a season. Whatever your wilderness season is, it is a season of equipping and empowerment. God is busy equipping you and he's empowering you and he's anointing you for the destiny he has set apart just for you. Anointing you for a destiny he has set apart just for you. Let's take the story of David, for example. And now we're in the process of slaying a giant, right? Let's take the story of David. So the story of David does not actually start with David. The story of David starts with Saul. The Bible tells us that Saul had rejected the counsel of God and chose to do things in his own strength. We read in the book of 1 Samuel 13, verse 13, where Samuel comes and tells Saul, "How foolish! You have not kept the command of the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever." So Saul was being naughty. All right? God had given him an instruction, and he says, "Saul, you wait for the prophet. The prophet will come, and the prophet will do what the prophet has to do." But Saul was there thinking, "Oh no, these people are going to kill me. These people are going to hurt me. Whoa, if I don't do this now, blah, 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 blah." And eventually, he acted in disobedience, and he thought he knew better than God. So he what? He went on, and he did whatever he wanted to do. Then, this is where things get interesting. So Samuel comes in, and he confronts Saul, because now Saul is busy blaming everyone else but himself. So Samuel comes and says, "But now," in the book of 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, "but now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." Now this is where things get interesting. If we read the scripture again, the Bible says, "For the Lord has already sought out a man after his own heart. And has already what? Appointed him." At this point, the only person who knew that David was going to be king was who? Was God. Samuel didn't know, because all he knew that God had appointed a man after his own heart. Saul didn't know. Even David didn't know, because he was still somewhere, what, in the wilderness taking care of what? Taking care of sheep. But here the Lord says, "I have already appointed him as king." So your situation right now says nothing about what God has already predestined for you. Here God had appointed a new king, yet Saul was still sitting on the throne. And what I find extremely interesting here is that he calls out David as a man after his own heart. David didn't become a man after God's heart after he became king. He became a man after God's own heart in the what? In the wilderness, where no one could see him, where things were a little difficult. There is nothing that David did at this point. It was not by lineage nor by conquest. He did not go win many battles at this point before God appointed him as king. I want to remind you and tell you right now, family, God has appointed you. You may not see it, you may not know it, but he has appointed you and the time will come. But why is this so significant? Why is this specifically so significant? Well, when we read the story of David, we see that David was often forgotten, right? Forgotten by his father, written off by man, and looked down upon. In the natural, everyone had written David off. He was either too small or he was just a shepherd boy running around taking care of sheep. In the natural, man saw no reason for David to be king. But God. But God, you know how God loves to use the underdog. God loves to use the people that are least likely. So if you feel in your season right now that, you know what, I don't know if I'm the right person, I want to tell you right now that you are well positioned to be used by God. God does not need our ability. Where God guides you, He will equip you. He will give you everything you need. God will always give you what you do not know so He can teach you. Because then your dependence will be on Him. But when we walk in our own strength, what happens? Self-righteousness. I did it. I got here. If just a side note, when we this morning I was reading about King Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says that he was given a prophecy and he was told that eventually he will become a wild man running around and eating grass. We read a few chapters that the thing that got him to that point is that the Bible says he went and he stood on the roof and looked out at Babylon. And what did he say? Look at what I have done. Oh, how great am I that I was able to do all these things. And right then the Bible says what? It hit him. And he became a wild man pushed into the wilderness. There's a wise man who used to say, if I've seemed humble, it is because God has kept pride from me. So your situation is not your enemy. Now, back to David. We read as well, when the prophet came to anoint the new king, what did he tell, who's this? Jesse. He says, Jesse, go bring your family. Bring your family. I would like to anoint the next king. What did Jesse do? Bible says Jesse brought all his sons and he lined them up there. He lined them up. He says, these are my sons. Where was David? Somewhere out there taking care of sheep. Right? Forgotten. As if he didn't matter. Don't you feel like that sometimes? Like you're just forgotten. Like no one is paying attention to you. It just feels like that in some seasons, right? And I'm sure you're wondering, well, at least the prophet knew. I'm sure he knew that David was going to be king. No, he did not, right? The Bible says that who's this? Samuel took a first look at what is this? At Jesse's oldest son, and what did he say? This must be the king. Why? Because he was big, because he was strong, and he looked like a king. And what did God say? 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way we see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Perhaps people prejudge David because of what he did. Maybe because he spent most of the day smelling like sheep and stepping in the things that the sheep left behind. Maybe they felt, that does not sound like a man who should be king or even anywhere near a prophet. He should stay there. What is it? And take care of the sheep. But God. Oh, how God loves the shepherds that smell like the sheep He has entrusted to them. For you see, family, God does not use the same measure as man uses to measure your value. He does not look at what you're unable to do. He looks at your heart. He looks straight to your heart and say, what is inside your heart? That's why the Bible says what? Guard your heart above all else. Why? Because out of it flows what? David wasn't made king in the palace. He was shaped in the wilderness. He was forgotten by his father, dismissed by his brothers, overlooked by the prophet, but not forgotten by God. When the world said, not him, it can't be him, what did God say? That's my king. that right there is my king. So when the world looks at you today, family, they might say, no, I don't think she can do it. No, I don't think he has what it takes. He doesn't look right. I don't think he can do the job. You know what God says? That's my daughter. You're talking about my son. And I have equipped him for such a time as this. Because there is nothing any man or woman or whatever it is can do to ever stop the plan that God has over your life. Saul tried to kill David for years. He tried to murder him. He sent armies. He sent whatever he could to a point where God had to send a lying spirit amongst prophets to keep them from stopping the anointing he had put on David. The anointing that God has put on you, no man can remove. No man can change. No man can adjust. It is God who has put it on you. So your situation today does not change the anointing that God has placed over your life. Your poverty today does not nullify your riches tomorrow. Your unemployment today does not nullify the job God has prepared for you. Your sickness today does not nullify the healing that God has already prepared and spoken over your life. So if you feel like you've been overlooked for the promotion, if you feel like you haven't met that goal that you've been trusting God to meet, God is still aware. God is still aware. He's still working things out for your good. But something interesting happened in David's life. Because after the prophet came and anointed him as king, what does the Bible say? He remained in the wilderness. Lord, why would you anoint him as king? You clearly said in your word that I have appointed him as the ruler, but yet you leave him in the what? In the wilderness. Why would you leave him in the wilderness? Let me tell you why. God left David in the wilderness so that one day when he faced Goliath, he would stand there having faced the bear, having faced the lion, having seen God's deliverance, having seen God's faithfulness, having seen God's kindness, having seen God's grace and empowerment. And he would stand there and look at Goliath and say, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine as well. God knew that David had to learn how to fight lions and bears. So when he stood in front of the giant, he wouldn't be afraid. He wouldn't be shaken. What would he do? He would stand firm on the same God that saw him through that season and say, the same God who was with me with the lions and the bears is with me while I'm standing here right now. When David stood in front of Goliath, he didn't say, because I have a strong army behind me. He took what God had done for him in the past and said, if he can do it then, why can't he do it now? The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so he hasn't changed. So why would he change now? Why would this moment, why would this situation be different? So he said, if he was able to do it then, surely he can do it what? He can do it now. That was David's confidence. His confidence was in the ability of God to be who he says he is. Isn't that powerful, family? He trusted that God is who he said he is, and that is all the confidence he needed. And then he went on to pick up 5 stones to go face a giant with a sword and a javelin. Wow. The God who has seen you through the battles, many challenges, has not brought you this far to abandon you. He has not brought you to this giant today to say, ish, askies, maybe next time. Your wilderness season, family, is not a curse. Whatever you're going through right now, don't look at it as a curse. It is not a curse. It is a gift. It is an opportunity to glorify God, to glorify God when things are difficult. You see, David's wilderness is where he became king. It wasn't in the palace. David did not become king in the palace. He became a king in that wilderness. He became a man after God's own heart in that wilderness. So the question that I have for you this morning, family, what is your wilderness season? What wilderness season are you in today? Has it made you bitter or has it made you better? Have you faced your lions? Or are you running away from them? Have you faced your bear or are you running away from them? And now that you stand in front of this Goliath, what is your confession? Is it perhaps that we're not facing the lions and the bears in the wilderness, that we do not have the confidence to face the Goliath today? What is your confession? What are you saying to your Goliath today? Don't wait for the palace to praise God. Don't wait for the crown to praise God. God has called you by name long before even you knew it, before even your parents knew it. He had called you by name. You know what I love about, there's a scripture in the book of Revelation, that's Revelation 2 verse 16. It says that God has given you a name that only you and He knows. Isn't that amazing? There is a name out there that only I and God know. For each and every single one of us, the Bible says, and I will give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. So when God calls you, He doesn't call you the way everyone else calls you. He calls you by a name only you and He knows. Isn't that amazing? God does not delegate His personal time with you. He meets you personally to engage with you to a point that He even speaks to you with a name just meant for you. That does not sound like a God who forgets to me. So hear this, family. You are not forgotten. Even though you're going through a wilderness season that feels like God has forgotten you, that feels like things are difficult, you are not forgotten. God sees you, He sees your situation, and He shows up personally for each and every single one of us. And every time He shows up, you know what He says? Do not be afraid, or do not be discouraged, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am with you. There's a translation that I really love. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. Do not be dismayed, says the Lord. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. He comes and He says, do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you're going through, God is there. God is aware of you. We need to start turning these tests into testimonies and give room for God to mold us the way that He needs to do. It takes a man and a woman of faith to be able to say, thank you, Jesus, when you don't see the blessing. To say, thank you, Jesus, when you're walking through the wilderness. You see, tests and trials are the soil in which your faith will flourish. So those are the seasons we need to what? Hold on to God. You don't run from God. You run to Him. When things get difficult, you don't pull away from God. you run to him because he will give you comfort. The Bible says in the book of Romans 8:39, no power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that God is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn to your neighbor right now and tell them, I am chosen. Even in my wilderness, I am chosen. Tell them, I am not forgotten. Even in my wilderness, I am not forgotten. There is nothing, family. Doesn't matter what you're going through. There is nothing that will ever keep God away from you. Nothing, no mountain, no valley, no situation, no hardship, no person can ever keep God away from you. There's a scripture that God gave me many, many years ago that when I was going through one of my wilderness seasons, that, you know, when like Pastor B says, sometimes you ask God and he winks at you, right? This was God winking at me. I was going through a fairly tough season. The scriptures that God gave me can actually be found in Romans 10, verse 11, and Isaiah 49, verse 23. And the words that I really held on to that really got me through some very shady stuff was that those who trust in the Lord will not be put to shame. Those words are enough to change your mood on any given day. Those who trust in the Lord will not be put to shame. He is able. He always shows up. He never forgets. And he's always loving. Ciela.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ. Loving God, loving people.